Seches Megillah, Daf Gimel Amid Aleph, where the Gemara here seems to be taking a whole bunch of disconnected ideas, and the only connecting thread that we have between them is the fact that they were all stated by the same person. So last week we learned about Menatzpach Tzofim, that those letters that are at the end of a word, we learned about Menatzpach Tzofim. I felt horrible. We spoke about one of the members that was said from Reb Yirmiyah v'Yitemer Reb Chiya Bar Abba, and now the Gemara continues and tells us another member that seems not to be connected at all to anything we've been discussing, but it's once again just stated by the same person, by the same Amora, and that's why it finds itself here in the Gemara. So by way of introduction to the Gemara that we're about to learn, we have to first understand a little bit about the history of Targum. What exactly is the story with Targum? Targum, as we know, the famous Targum on Chumash is the Targum Unkelus, and the reason we have to get into it is because our Gemara is about to give us some of the background about how this started, and who wrote the Targum, and where did it come from. But before the Targum, as we know it, was written, the Targum Unkelus, there were major problems, because the Torah was deliberately translated in a dishonest way. There were a number of psukim that were translated in a dishonest way to make people think that that's what the Torah meant, and really it was done by other religions, and this was a problem. For example, there were those who translated Mizarecha lo siten lahavre lamolech, a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra. Simply translated, it means that you're not allowed to give your children to the molech, you're not allowed to sacrifice your kids for the Avodah Zarah. And there were those who translated it very differently. The Mishnah says in Megillah in the fourth parak that there were those who had a very different understanding of what the pasuk meant. And similarly, we find the pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, Vayiru b'nei ha'Elohim as b'nos ha'adam. So there were those who wanted to extrapolate from that pasuk. You see that it's possible to be b'nei ha'Elohim. How can you be the children of God? And that is, some religions believe that you can be the child of God. So there were major problems floating around because there were translations that were being made of psukim and chumash. Not everybody understood how to translate and to interpret the psukim. And there were translations being made that were dishonest translations, and it was leading people astray. And this is why it was of great need that we had to have an official Targum that was made by one of us, by one of our own, that was going to be an authentic Targum and teach what the Masorah was all about and what the psukim were really meant to explain to all of us. And this is why the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin that after the Targum Unkelus was written, we call that Targuma Didan. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Why do we call it Targuma Didan, our Targum? The answer is because this was our Targum as opposed to all the other Targums that were out there, and this was the authentic Mesorah-based Targum that really was considered to be the most proper Targum of the text of the Chumash. And that's why the Targum Unkelus is really one of the most important works that we have on all of Torah Shavuot Sav, on all of Torah. So who was Unkelus? What's the story with Unkelus? So the Gemara gives us the background of the history of who Unkelus was. And the truth is, the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah has one version of the story. The Medrash Tanchuma has a slightly different version of the story. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that Unkelus was the Bar Achte, means he was the nephew of Titus HaRasha. And the Gemara tells us that he decided that he wanted to be Megayer. So the Gemara in the first parak in Avodah Zarah says that Titus found out about this and he sent somebody after him to go and convince him that he shouldn't and to go arrest him. And instead of them arresting him, Unkelus was successful in converting all of them along with him. And then he sent another group of messengers, and he kept going, 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 until finally Unkelus got a lot of the soldiers of Titus HaRasha to come along to the other side, and that was a major story the Gemara has there. That's the story as we know it from Talmud Bavli. The Gemara Maseches Gittin also has that version of the story, that Titus HaRasha was the uncle of Unkelus, and that was the story as we know it from Talmud Bavli. However, the Medrash Tanchuma has a little bit of a different story. It says, the same kind of story, but it says he was Ben Achoso Shel Adrianus Caesar. Adrianus was Hadrian. That was not the same person as Titus HaRasha. They lived close to the same period in history, so the years are not so off, but the question is exactly who was Titus related to. But either way, what you see from the story is that Unkelus really was part of a very prestigious family, and he was part of a non-Jewish family, was very well known and very well respected. And Unkelus chose to give all of that up to be Megayer, and it was a threat to his own life, and they wanted to kill him. But Unkelus decided, Hager, he decided to give it all up and to become a Jew, to become a Ger. The Rambam considers Unkelus' Targum to be something that is extraordinary, to be the premier translation on all of Chumash. So the Rambam writes in the Mar Nebuchim, Unkelis Hager, Shalei Ma'od B'Lashon HaIvris V'HaAramis. Unkelis Hager was a person who knew Hebrew and Aramaic inside and out fluently, and he was able to therefore translate and extrapolate from the Psukim exactly what the Mesorah really meant to teach all of us from the underlying of what the text was really meant to say. V'zed Avra Mufla Ma'od. This work that Unkelis did on the Chumash was something that was Mufla Ma'od, says the Rambam. Yora al Shleimus Zeh HaAdon. It says so much about the greatness of the person, the wholesomeness of who Unkelis was. V'tov Perusha V'Havanoso HaDvarim Kifi Ma'Shehem. And Unkelis was able to understand everything the way it was meant to be understood. He had a clear head. And the Rambam doesn't normally write this way about personalities throughout history. He doesn't say about different Tanoim or Amoraim, but Unkelis, he goes out of his way to tell us, was someone that was exceptionally unusual. And so much so, the Rambam, both in Isurei Bia, as well as in Hilchos Avel and a number of other places, the Rambam actually paskins a Shaila Lahalacha based off of the understanding that he got from Targum Unkelis. And the Nosa Kalim point this out. But you see that Targum Unkelis was really considered to be Talmud Didan. He was Targum Didan. He was the way that we can understand what the Chumash meant, because before him, there were so many interpretations floating around that nobody really knew if they were honest or not, and Unkelis really set the rules straight. So much so that the Rambam writes such a surprising halacha nilchus ishus. You know, back in the times of the Gemara, the Rambam, they had husbands that used to make all kinds of crazy stipulations when they got married. I don't know, we have crazy husbands today as well, but they don't normally dream up of the things that the Rambam thought they would dream of. So he says, he has a guy who decides ha'omer la'isha. He'd like to get married to the girl, and they're ready to go ahead with the wedding. And he says, "Harei ad mikudeshes li, you are going to be married to me, almanas shani odea likros. I'm only going to be married to you if I know how to read the Torah. Only if I know, only if I have a proficiency in Torah." So imagine if we would all hold back from getting married until we had a absolute proficiency in everything the Torah meant to teach us. Says the Rambam, when is the man able to say his kiddushin is chal? What does he have to learn in order for his kedushin to be chal? Writes the Rambam, Tzorach sheyikra haTorah v'yitargim osa targum unkelis hager. Amazing. The Rambam says, when a person makes a stipulation before getting married, I'm only going to get married if I have an absolute understanding of what every pasuk in Chumash means, that I'm someone who really knows Torah Shebechsav inside and out, says the Rambam, that kedushin is only chal not when you read all the psukim, but only when you read the Psukim with the Targum Unkelis, and only then can you say that you really have an understanding of what the Chumash means to teach you, which comes to show what the Rambam felt about Targum Unkelis, which is very, very unusual. So much so that it will affect the status of a marriage. It will affect whether or not the couple got married. And this is something that is amazing. So where does the Rambam get this idea from, that Unkelis was so important? He gets it really from the times of the Gemara, the times of the Mishnayos. We already see that many of the Tanaim, many of the great luminaries of that generation, already considered Unkelis to be the greatest translation. So, let's say, for example, the Sifri writes a story, the man yilmad the yira es Hashem alokav. The Pasuk says, we will learn to have yira shamayim. What does it mean? How will a person learn to have yira shamayim? How do I come to be a yira shamayim? Says the Sifri, what it means is, malamed shahamore mevi lidei mikra. That if a person starts to learn about yira shamayim, that will bring them to learn the Torah. Mikra, maybe lidei targum. Once they learn the Torah, then they're going to be intrigued. How do I understand the Torah? Then the next step is they have to learn the targum in order to have a complete understanding. Targum, once they have an understanding of what the Torah means in the text itself, then they're going to move ahead lidei mishnah. Mishnah, maybe lidei talmud. But you see that the targum was part of, it was on par with the Mishnayos, with the Gemara, and this was considered to be the consummate Jew was only the person who was able to read Chumash and understand it with the Targum, and only then do you move on to the Mishnayos and the Gemara. But that was really considered a part of the system. And this is what the Gemara says about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai as well. Shelohi niach parsha achas b'torah shelo lamda. There was not a single parsha in the Torah that he didn't know inside and out. V'lamad b'mikra v'targum medrash halachas v'agadus v'mishalas hakol lamad. It says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew everything, learned everything, and he got that all because part of his repertoire, part of what he learned was the fact that he was paying attention to the Targum Unkelis as well. And this is why in the halachas of Shnai Mikra Echa Targum, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, that part of our obligation when we do Shnai Mikra every week is to make sure that not only do we read the Chumash and the Rashi, but also that we do the Targum as well, because that really is the basic understanding, the preliminary understanding for what the Torah means to teach us. Just once we're on the topic, you're probably wondering, how do I know anything about Targum? I'm not a historian. The answer to that is, my brother-in-law is Akiva Posen. I don't know if anybody here knows anyone went to Karen B'Yavna here. There was a Chazan Posen there. Anybody remember? Chazan Pozen is my parents' mechutin, my brother-in-law is his son. So Chazan Pozen did something that's very unusual in our generation. Most of us don't have patience to do anything for an extended period of time. But he worked for about 50 years of his life on Targum Unculus. His PhD is in Unculus, and he wrote, I think, 5 svarim, each volume of... They weren't all published yet, but 3 of them were already published. It's an amazing piece of work that he did, really picking apart the Targum Unculus and getting down to the root of everything and cross-referencing all the Unculuses from all over Tanakh, all over Torah Shebichsav. It's amazing the work that he did. So in the front of the first volume, which I have at home, he has a little bit of the development of Torah, of the Targum, and how exactly it happened. So don't make a mistake and think that I know all of this. This is straight out of his book. So what he points out, which is something that I otherwise would have never known. So far, everything we said, everybody could know. That's from the Gemara. But what I never knew was what he points out about the other Targumim that were available at the time. So what does he say? He says that if you look in the Mikros Gedolos, sometimes you'll see that we have something called the Targum Yerushalmi. So what is the Targum Yerushalmi? I've heard of this before, but I never really knew what it was about till I read it this morning in this book. So he writes that Targum Yerushalmi was a Targum that we're not really sure exactly what it's about. And he quotes here from the Tshuvas HaGaonim, and he says, Ein anu yodim Targum Eretz Yisrael mi amar. We don't really know where this who initiated this Targum. Where did this come from? How did it creep into the Chumash? And who decided that it should be there? And who decided it's authentic? Va'af ein anu yodim oso. The Gaonim said, we don't even really know it. Targum Unculus is what we learn. We don't learn this Talmud Yerushalmi. V'lo shamanu mimenu ela ma'at. We have heard here and there a little bit from the Talmud, from the Targum Yerushalmi, but it's not reliable. That's what the Gaonim write. They don't really know where it came from. They don't really know who wrote it. And they don't really know much about the origins of where this came from. So that's what the Talmud Yerushalmi. But more famous is the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. All of us have seen that. And that is a misnomer. That is a real mistake, because the Achronim point out that that was not the Targum that was written by Yonos and Ben Uziel. And the reason why I mention this is because we're going to see in our Gemara, Yonos and Ben Uziel wrote a Targum only on Ksuvim, only on the rest of the Torah, not on the Torah per se, only on Nevi'im Uksuvim. Targum Yonos and Ben Uziel is a major misnomer. It's not true. It was not written by Yonos and Ben Uziel. And this is something that the Maharam Chagiz writes in his Sefer Halachas Ketano. So he says, Targum zeh shebi yadeinu ala Torah. This you open up at Mikros Gedolos and you see that there's something called Targum Yonos and Ben Uziel. He writes, Ein ala Yonos and Ben Uziel. This that we refer to as Targum Yonos and Ben Uziel, don't make a mistake. That is not the great Yonos and Ben Uziel that we're going to learn about in our Gemara. That is not him. Elohu Targum Yerushalmi. Really, the origins of that, it used to say in the Chumash, Taf Yud, Targum Yerushalmi. Somebody didn't really understand what the Rosh HaTevas were supposed to mean, so they were Mifaneach, the Rosh HaTevas, and they decided to do everyone a favor and spell it out, and they mistakenly wrote Targum Yonasan. Once somebody saw Targum Yonasan, they said, oh, it must be Yonasan Ben Uziel, because he wrote the one on Naf, so it must be he wrote the one here. They didn't know, the Gemara says, Yonasan Ben Uziel did not work on the Torah itself, he only worked on Nevi'im Uksuvim. So that's just an interesting history that this was a major misnomer, and it's something that for some reason stuck around. It's something that we still believe in. We still call it Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, even though it is not the case. The way I found this out the hard way was one time in a shir, I mentioned something from the great Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, and I said the whole history of Yonasan Ben Uziel, and somebody sent me an email later on and said, you don't know what you're talking about. This has nothing to do with Yonasan Ben Uziel. So I am grateful to that person for pointing it out, because it was something that I was really never aware of, which, by the way, if I ever make a mistake, please point it out. I'm very happy to learn more and to become more well aware of what the reality really is. So, Yonasan ben Uziel, as our Gemara will teach us, you know, I remember when my father was writing one of his svarim. So my father sometimes writes a lot of Rosh HaTevos, and the editor who decided to do my father a big favor decided he was going to be mefaneach all the Rosh HaTevos. So it wasn't such a favor because, you know, he made mistakes all over the place. He didn't really understand what my father meant to say. So I remember he wrote that we write, that we wear tefillin on Choshen Mishpat. It was Cholosh El Moed, Chaf Chesvav Shin Mem. So the Sefer was printed that way. It says we wear tefillin on Choshen Mishpat. And all these kinds of mistakes, you know, it was all after we edited it 100 times over. And now this guy decided to do the final favor right before it went to print. And he got all these mistakes in there. Last week when Rosh Weiss was here, he also was going through a bunch of things he was about to publish. And he said, Shai, the guy did the same thing to me. He decided to be mefaneach all the Rosh HaTevas, and it was all kinds of mistakes in there. So you got to be careful. That's how Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel goes down for all posterity as the big mistake of Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, even though it's not him. So who actually was Yonasan Ben Uziel? So the Gemara Masechet Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches, tells us Shmonim Talmidim Hayu Lalu Hillel Hazakin. The Gemara tells us Hillel Hazakin had 80 Talmidim. 30 of them, says the Gemara, were like Moshe Rabbeinu, 30 of them were like Yehoshua ben Nun, and 20 of them were 30-30, right? And 20 is 80. So 20 of them were somewhere in the middle. So it was a pretty impressive group of students. The Gemara says, Katan Shebekulam, the lowest of all the students was the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Nasi, the Gadol Hador. And the strongest of the students was Yonas ben Uziel. Says the Gemara, Yonas ben Uziel was such a great Talmud, Kal of ha-pareach alav miyad nisraf. Anytime that a bird was in his vicinity, it would get burnt right away. So that's the famous story the Gemara tells us. But our Gemara here says that Yonas ben Uziel decided that he was going to write a targum of what the Gemara is. So let's see what our Gemara is about to say. Just before we get to the Gemara tells us that Yonas ben Uziel got this from, one second, let me just see. The Gemara tells us he got his targum from Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Does that sound strange to anybody? Anybody know history at all? So we just said that Yonas ben Uziel was a Talmud of Hillel HaZaken. Chagai Zechariah Malachi weren't alive then. Chagai Zechariah Malachi had died. When were Chagai Zechariah Malachi alive? At the end of the Bais Rishon, beginning of the Bais Sheni. Ezra HaSofer was one of the last Nevi'im, and he was with Chagai Zechariah Malachi. So how could it be that Yonas ben Uziel, who was a Talmud of Hillel HaZaken, got the Targum from Chagai Zechariah Malachi? How can that be? What does our Gemara mean, as we'll see in a minute? So this is a comment that is made by the Maritz Chias, and he argues that it doesn't mean Ein HaPirish HaShama MiPihem Peh El Peh Mamish. It doesn't mean he actually had a conversation with Chagai Zechariah Malachi. He wasn't a few hundred years old. It's not true. They weren't alive. All it means is Tirgem Kefiha Makubal Mipiha Midar Daradzmano. There was a tradition that started from Chagai Zechariah Malachi, reached all the way a few hundred years to Yonas ben Uziel, and he was the one who actually formulated it. He wrote it down just based on the traditions that he had. V'chein Matzinu, he writes, the Maritz Chias tells us, this is something that we find very often. For example, the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Membeis, Shamai Hazakein Omer Mishum Chagai Hanavi Yeshliach Ledvar Aveira. So Shammai lived at the same time as Chagai? That can't be. Shammai was one of the Tanoim. Chagai Zechariah Malachi were at the end of the Bais Rishon, so it doesn't make sense. So the Maritz Chias argues that it doesn't mean Shammai had a conversation with Chagai, it just means he heard in the name of Chagai that this is the halacha, that Yeshliach Ledvar Aveira. Or he says, we find the same thing in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yutes, Heid Rab Simai Mishum Chagai Zechariah Malachi, that somebody also said some halacha over in the name of Chagai Zechariah Malachi, even though it was impossible that the two of them ever met. So he writes, every so often we do have such a concept where we have things that went down b'mesora, and they're quoted as if you actually had a conversation with that personality himself, but it's not really the case. Really, it just means that it went down b'mesora, and then the one who formalized it was much later on in history. So let's begin our Gemara. With that introduction, this Gemara is going to be a breeze. Let's see six lines from the top of the Yamad. Gimel Lamed Aleph. Amar of Yirmiyah v'Yitamer of Chiyah Baraba. Targum Shel Torah, says the Gemara, the Targum as we know it, on the Torah that we learn, that is Unkelus Hager Amaro. That was written by the great Unkelus Hager. And what do we know about Unkelus? As we said, Unkelus was the one who was either the nephew of Titus, or he was the nephew of Hadrian, but either way, he was from a very prestigious family. He decided to be Megayer, and he was the one who wrote the Targum Unkelus on Chumash. Mipira Belezer Rabbi Yeshua, and he got this tradition from Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So it wasn't his own. He formulated it from his Rabbein, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Targum Shel Nevi'im. Now Unkelus only wrote a Targum on the Chumash itself. However, says the Gemara, Targum Shel Nevi'im, the Targum that we have on Navi, that was written by Yonas ben Uziel. How did Yonas ben Uziel know how to translate the Navi? Says the Gemara, Mipi Chagai Zechariah Malachi. He got this from a tradition all the way back from Chagai Zechariah Malachi. This was not his original idea. This was something that was around for a long period of time. Says the Gemara, when Yonas ben Uziel came along and decided to translate the Nevi'im Uksuvim into the language that everyone spoke, into the vernacular, so the Gemara says, Nizdaza Eretz Yisrael Arba Meos Parsa Al Arba Meos Parsa. Eretz Yisrael responded very negatively. And the whole land shook, so to speak, like there was an earthquake. And this seemed to be a sign that Yonas ben Uziel did the wrong thing. Now, the Tosas Rid writes on our daf, what did he do wrong? All he was trying to do was make the Torah more accessible to people. Same thing with Art Scroll. So what did he do wrong? So Tosfos Reed writes as follows. Tekivan dekasav targuma dekroi, writes Tosfos Reed, since Yonus HaMenuziel decided that he was going to translate the Torah into their vernacular, lo masri nafshayu lemolfinu kidemei ikara. Lo masri nafshayu lemolfinu kidemei ikara. Nobody had to work hard anymore to figure out what a pasuk in Navi meant. It used to be that if somebody wanted to learn Tanakh, you had to sit down and really spend a long time figuring out what the pasuk means. Now Yonus HaMenuziel comes and writes an art scroll. Says the Tosfos Reed, you took away the Amala Shel Torah, you took away all of my involvement, all of my hard work, now there's nothing left. All we have to do is read Yonus HaMenuziel's commentary and it's all easy. So the question is, where do we draw the line? If Yonus HaMenuziel had not done that, then nobody would be learned. If Art Scroll didn't have what they did today, I'm sure there are thousands, maybe millions of people all over the world, I don't know, who would never learn and open, they would never be able to open a Daf Gemara at all. So they did a major service to the community, but at the same time the Gemara says that in his day, Yonus HaMenuziel was getting a very negative reaction, a very negative response, which he took as a Siman Min HaShamayim. So there's an amazing story that I once saw in the Leket Yosher. The Leket Yosher is a Talmud of the Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen was the Rebbe of the Rama, right? The Rama quotes many things from the Trumas HaDeshen, the Maharil. So the Trumas HaDeshen said the following thing. I'll read you the Lashon of his Talmud, the Leket Yosher. He says, Zachruni, I remember Sheamar. I remember that my Rebbe, the Trumas HaDeshen, said, Osam HaBachurim HaAshirim. These wealthy guys who come to learn in our yeshiva, I don't know where their yeshiva was, in Germany or something, HaMufunakim. These very wealthy, you know, these, I don't know what you call them, the Feinschmeckers, what? Sensei. What? The royal kid, the spoiled kids, come to our yeshiva. You know, we're the simple Jews. These guys come, I don't know where they're from England, and he says that they come, and Asu Lahem Shulchanos, can you believe it? We're all sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash, and these guys come along with their own tables. I mean, can you believe how spoiled they are? Guy walks into the Beis Medrash with his own table. And he says, Kishe Yoshvim B'mekoman, they sit in a chair, and they have this table in front of them. Hovchem HaShulchan Le'ezet Tzad Sheyirtza. They have a swivel table, so they don't have to move. Anytime they need a sefer, they just turn the table around, and they get whatever they need. So the Trumas HaDeshen made a comment at the time, and he said, Lo Tov HaMosim. It's the wrong attitude. They're doing wrong. Why? Because Adarabba. Kishemavakesh Acher HaSefer. When you have to get up and get the sefer on your own, when you have to go to the bookshelf and make sure to take it off, and it exerts some of your energy, he says, Ubala b'tareach gado zachar b'oso maisa masherot zelilma. That is the way to ensure that you will remember what it is that you've learned. Writes the Trumas HaDeshen. But these guys who come here and have this swivel table that's just going to be able to facilitate any gemara that they need at any time, that's not the right thing to do. And that's what the Tosfos Reed writes here. There's an aspect, there's an element of Amala Shel Torah. Everybody has to feel that they are engaging, that they are working hard in Torah. So everyone on their own level. In the days of the Trumas HaDeshen, this was considered to be a major breach of conduct. This was the wrong thing to do. For us, this is something that we all do. We all get conveniences today. And for us, obviously the threshold is going to be a little bit different. But it seems that the negative reaction, the negative response to this translation that Yonus HaMenuziel did was something as a result of the fact that he just made Torah too easy to learn. So let's... So that's what it seems. So 1 second. So let's see. You're asking a very good question that we're going to pick up on in a minute. Was the whole issue, the Tosfos Reed seems to say that the issue was the fact that what? That he took away the Amala Shel Torah, that he took away everyone's ability to work hard. But others say that's not what the Gemara's problem was. The Gemara has a much more fundamental issue. Who gave Yonus HaMenuziel the right to actually transcribe a translation for the Torah? After all, the Gemara Maseches Gittin Daf Samach tells us the following rule. Dvarim shebichsav iyata rashoi la'amran ba'al peh. When you have a pasuk in Chumash, something from the Torah itself, you're not allowed to say it ba'al peh, you have to say it mitoch haksav. And when you have Dvarim shebal peh, when you have Torah shebal peh, you're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbat. It's supposed to be Midar Lador. It's supposed to be given down in a Mesorah. So the Pnei Yeshua and others write that this was the reason why there was a negative reaction to Yonus HaMenuziel, because who gave you the right to transcribe this Mesorah from Chagas Chayim Malachi if after all this was always Torah Shabbat Peh? The translation that we had was always kept as Torah Shabbat Peh, and we don't have a right to transcribe the Torah Shebal Peh. This was This was the question against Yonas and Menazil. In fact, the Magen Avraham writes something amazing. Magen Avraham says in Simon Reish Lamed Aleph, Reish Lamed Hey, in Aruch Chaim, the Magen Avraham says that we have a prohibition to write down Torah Shebal Peh. However, the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin, if it's a generation of Eis Lasos LaHashem Heferu Torah Secha, if nobody can remember anything anymore, so then we have to write it down, because it's for the purposes of saving the Torah, so then the prohibition doesn't apply. That's what the Gemara says. Says the Magen Avraham, he quotes from Rabbeinu Yoel. Who is Rabbeinu Yoel? He's one of the Rishonim quoted in the Haggadah Maimonides. So the Magen Avraham quotes Rabbeinu Yoel from the Haggadah Maimonides, saying the following. Shelo huter leger lichtov la'atzmo chumish belaz. There was a ger. Let's say you have a Chinese ger. There's no Chinese sidurim. There's no Chinese chumashim. He comes into the community. He wants to be a ger. He's a forthcoming Jew. He wants to be able to engage in Torah. What's he supposed to do? So he sits down with a Rebbe, and he asks him, can you explain everything to me? Can you teach it to me? And as he's teaching it to him, he writes down a translation into Chinese, so that this way the next person who comes along will also be able to have an easier time learning and engaging with the Torah. Says Rabbeinu Yoel, he doesn't think it's permissible for a ger from China, or whatever it might be, to write down his own translation for the Torah. Why not? Why not? Why don't you say what the Gemara says, and that is, Eis lasos la'ashem heferet Torah secha. If I'm not going to write it down, I'm not going to be able to learn Torah. Says the Magen Avraham, listen carefully, Efshur de Sfirelei, the Magen Avraham says, maybe the rationale for this prohibition for the ger, the Chinese ger, to write the Torah in his language is because, Telohavi Eis lasos la'ashem ela bedavar shekulam shavim. Amazing chiddush. So you want to write an art school Gemara, that's going to benefit a tremendous community. That's going to benefit all of American Jewry. So then we say, Eis lasos la'ashem, you have a right to translate, you have a right to write it down because it's going to benefit a wider public. But here, says the Magen Avraham, where one ger from China shows up and he says, I want to translate it that it should be easier for me or for my one friend who's going to come in 10 years from now, that's not Eis lasos la'ashem. That's not enough of a rationale to allow someone to write the Torah, and the prohibition remains in its place, and we assume Torah Dvarim Shebal Peh, Ia Torah Shaila Amr B'Ksav. You're not allowed to write it down unless there's a real bona fide good reason to do what you're doing. And therefore, writes the Magen Avraham, that is the understanding of why the one ger who comes from China is not able to do this. So the Stechemid raises the issue and he says, how did Ravina and Ravashi write down the Gemara? At what period did they decide, you know what, now nobody remembers anymore? I always think about it. I grew up in the generation where halfway through my life we got cell phones. When I was younger, nobody had cell phones. Now, am I older? I'm not so old, but now in the second half of my life, everybody has cell phones. So I do remember a time, I'm sure many of people here remember, when we used to be able to remember phone numbers, right? And now, I don't even know my home phone number. I don't know anything. If I get stranded somewhere without my cell phone, I don't know how to call anybody. So what does it mean? It means niskat nu adoros. It means we're not smart anymore. It just means, no, our brains aren't trained anymore to do that because it's useless information. So at what point did this transformation happen? When did Klal Yisrael start becoming unable to remember anything? So it used to be for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, there was a Torah Shebal Peh, and everybody was remembering and teaching their children and teaching the Talmidim, and it was working. So at what point did we feel the need to write down the Torah Shebal Peh? What happened? What? Right. Oh, so there was confusion because of all the machloksim. So the Gemara, so the Stechemet says the following. He says, we know Ravina and Ravashi were the ones who edited the Gemara, who wrote the Gemara, right? That's what the Gemara tells us. So the Stechemet argues they didn't actually write it. Writes the Stechemet, this is a tremendous chiddush. He says they didn't feel in their generation that it was necessary. All they did was they put it into the right categories, and they put all the sugyas in the order in which they belong, they put the mishnayos in the places with the Gemara that comes after it, they just set up the Gemara as we know it, but they did not write it down. Because in their generation they felt, which is something I would never have thought of, but the Stechemet writes, in their generation they felt, we're still okay, everybody in our generation remembers the Torah the way it's supposed to be remembered, knows the Gemara well, we're just going to put it into order. And it only was afterward, after Gavra HaShikcha, he says, only then did they come along and somebody else wrote it down, because it was coming a time where people simply couldn't remember anymore. There's an amazing comment made by the Chutam Meshulash, is the official biography of Rabbi Kiv Eiger, the Chasam Sofer. And there, they have a story about the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, who was Reb Nosson Adler from England, great Talmud Chacham, great Tzaddik. So they have a story about Reb Nosson Adler that he said that he never wrote Divrei Torah down. All of his Chidushim he never wrote. So they asked him, how come he didn't write it down? What do you mean? Everybody, every other Rosh Hashiva decides to print his Svarim, and every other rabbi thinks it's important to write a Sefer. What about you? So Reb Nosson Adler responded, and he said, Reb Nosson Adler responded, I'm laughing because I'm reminded of a great story. I don't know if it belongs in the middle of a shir, but it's a funny story. So Reb Nosson Adler responded, and he said that I've never forgotten one word of Torah Shebal Peh that I was ever mechadish. And the only heter to write Torah Shebal Peh is if you think it's going to be forgotten. But as far as I'm concerned, I haven't forgotten a thing. So there's no reason to write it, and there's no heter to write. The whole heter the Gemara gives is Eis Lasus LaHashem, because someone's going to forget it. We're not able to remember. We can't retain all the information. Reb Nosson Adler said about himself, didn't happen to me. So the Chasam Sofer goes even further and he says, what happens when you have a rabbi? You know, every so often you have a rabbi, not such a great Talmud Chacham, but he's a great rabbi. And he decides, you know, for his own prestige, it would help him get a raise if he's going to print a Sefer. It would help him, you know, people will think more highly of him if he prints a Sefer, even though they don't know how to read the Sefer, even though nobody cares for what he has to say, no one's going to read it. Which is the case in many, many communities, that you have Rabbanim who write Svarim, they know that nobody's going to read it, so the Chasam Sofer was asked, do they have a right to write such a Sefer or not? And the Chasam Sofer argues, my father likes to quote this, and the Chasam Sofer says, the whole heter to write Divrei Torah is only if you think Eis Lasus LaHashem Eferet Torasecha, because it's going to be such a loss to the world if your Torah is forgotten. But if your Torah is not important, if nobody really is ever going to read what you had to say anyway, then we go back to the original Isser, and you had no heter to write it at all. It's an unbelievable chiddush. So last week, I was when Rav Asher Weiss was here, he told me a funny story. His father was a funny storyteller. So a lot of times he tells interesting stories from his father. So we were in the car and somebody called him while we were in the car and was hocking him on the phone that it was on speaker. The guy was, I don't know who it was, but he wouldn't stop. He says, you know, please can you write a Haskama for my Sefer? Please, I've been waiting. I keep sending it to you. And I don't know why. He was like hemming and hawing. So whatever, when he hung up the phone, I didn't know who it was, so don't try to think who it is, I have no idea. So it was someone from Eretz Yisrael. So when he hung up the phone, I said to him, you know, I'm just wondering, like, is that all that makes you anyone? Like, is that the only criterion that's necessary to become an anything, is if you write a Sefer? Like, am I worthless for not spending time writing Svarim? So he said, let me tell you the following story. He said that when he grew up, his father used to say over the story about the guy in Europe who was the... what are they called? One of the Rosh HaKol. He was like a very well-known person in the community. And one fine day, he gets a crazy idea in his head that he wants to be a parrot. He wants to be a rooster. And he, you know, he goes crazy. And he's just sitting in his house, and he's crowing all day long, and he's just sitting on one, he's standing on one leg. He's a meshugana. He went crazy. So they don't know what to do. It's like a busha to the whole community. They tried to send the rabbi in to talk to him, his wife and his family. Nobody can knock sense into him. He says, no, I'm a rooster. I'm telling you, this is what I am. And that's what he was doing. So they told him that there happens to be, in a faraway town, there happens to be a rooster that doesn't crow. There's a rooster that doesn't crow. So, you know, maybe you're from that kind of rooster. At least they figured, you know, he shouldn't give us all a headache. So he said, oh, come on, there's no such thing. There's never been such a rooster. So they spent thousands of dollars and they sent a whole mission out to go look for this rooster that doesn't crow. And they figured they'll bring it back to town and they'll show him, look, you see, the rooster doesn't crow. So he brings back, so after a couple of weeks go by, they bring back the rooster. And they, you know, they call a private meeting in the house and they say, no, look, we brought this rooster from all the way from the other side of the world and we spent so much money. And look, here's a rooster that doesn't crow, doesn't make any noise. It's just normal. It sits. It doesn't do anything all day. And that's, you know, you should be like that kind of rooster. He said, no, the difference is if I don't crow, then I won't be a rooster. If he doesn't crow, he's still a rooster. He's the real thing. So that's what he told me. He said, some people just need the Sefer to be in anything. If they don't crow, if they don't have the Sefer, they're not a rabbi. He said, other people, the real way to do it is to be a Talmud Chacham. Doesn't matter whether you write the Svarim, you don't write the Svarim, people are going to read it, people are not going to read it. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is not whether or not you make noise, not whether or not you can crow. The most important thing is, are you really a rooster? Are you really part of the team? Are you really a Talmud Chacham? This is an amusing story, but it was relevant to the discussion that we were having then, and that's what the Chasam Sofer writes here. You don't become anyone special just because you write a Sefer. If you're a Talmud Chacham, then you deserve our respect. If you're not a Talmud Chacham, then you can write 100 Svarim and it still doesn't mean anything. So the Chasam Sofer writes that he believes if a Talmud Chacham is going to write a Sefer, not because he thinks that the world needs his Divrei Torah, but rather because for his own kavod, he says, in this area we don't say mitoch shelo lishma balishma. Although we say by many other mitzvahs, even if you do it shelo lishma, it's okay. Here writes the Chasam Sofer, you're not allowed to do it shelo lishma. Why? Because if you write a sefer shelo lishma, you're violating the avera of dvarim shebal peh, iyatara shayla kasun. You're not allowed to write them. That's the chiddush of the Chasam Sofer, and that's what he writes. So let's get back to our Gemara, where the Gemara says, I see we'll never get through Maseches Megillah. Just too interesting. So the Gemara tells us, I thought if we chose a short Masechta, we would be able to move, but apparently not. So the Gemara tells us as follows, that Unkelis wrote the Targum on the Torah, and then the Gemara says that Yonasan ben Azio writes the Targum on Neviim Uksuvim, v'nizdaza Eretz Yisrael arba meos parsa al arba meos parsa. Yotzes HaBaskol v'yamra, Baskol goes out and says, Mihu zeh shegilas Yisrael libnei Adam. Who is this that went along and shared the secrets of what the Torah is all about with other people? Amad Yonasan ben Azio, like almost with chutzpah, Yonasan ben Azio says, oh, it was me. He has no problem responding. You know, the Shechina is talking to him and he stands up and he says, you know, yes, I'm proud of it. I wrote the Targum and it was me. Va'amar, and he says, Ani hu shegilisi sesarecha libnei Adam. I am the one who did this. I am the one who wrote the translation. Why? You know God. I didn't do this for myself. I don't need this kavod. I didn't do this for my father, for my family. I did it. I did this for you. I did it in order that there should be clarity in our learning, which is the most important thing, to walk out of a shir, to walk out of the learning that we do with clarity. And that's what my father taught all of his Talmidim, to teach with clarity. It's the most important thing to do. That people shouldn't be confused when they walk away from something that they learned. And that is what Yonasan ben Azio said. I need to write down the translation of the Torah that we shouldn't have machlokas v'Yisrael, because then there's going to be uncertainty. No one's going to know what the halacha is. And that's why it was a very important idea for me to translate it. V'yod, and then he wanted legalos targum shel ksuvim. Not only did he want to write down the targum on Nevi'im, but he also wanted to translate ksuvim. Yatzis ha-basko v'yamra, basko came out and said, Dayecha. You shouldn't do ksuvim. My time, I'm yishim de'isbe keitz ha-mashiach. Because in Sefer Daniel, it talks about if you know how to read Daniel, which most of us don't know how to do, so if you know how to really understand the words of Daniel, then you can figure out when Mashiach is going to come. And that's something we didn't want Yonasan ben Azio letting the secret out. So therefore, God told him, you wrote the thing on Nevi'im, I understand. You wanted to help out the Jewish people that they shouldn't have uncertainty when reading Tanakh. But ksuvim, we're not going to allow you to translate. Ask the Gemara. V'targum shel Torah Unkelis Hager Amaro, is that true that Unkelis is the one who wrote down the Targum? Unkelis is the one who translated the Torah originally. V'ha Amarav Ika Bar Avin Amarav Chananel Amarav Ma'i Dechsiv. What does it mean? V'yikru B'sefer Torah Elokim Mefurosh V'shum Seichel V'yavinu B'mikra V'yiru V'yikru B'sefer Torah Elokim Zemikra. When it says in Sefer Nehemiah that they read from the Torah, that means they read from the Chumash itself. Mefurash, that means they read along with the Targum. So don't you see that way before Unkelis, there was already a Targum? So how do you understand this? So the Gemara answers, no. What it means is, Shakhum v'chazur v'yastum. What it means is, yes, the Targum was around way before Unkelis was born. But through the generations, it got forgotten. And then Unkelis came along and he reinstituted that which was along way before him. So the Stechemet picks up on this Gemara and he says he has a slight problem with it, because he writes that the Pasuk seems to say, and the Gemara indicates this later on in Megillah in different context, that the practice was, you ever heard of a Meturgaman? The Gemara in Sota talks about it. The Gemara here says, sounds like when they used to do Kriyas HaTorah, they had a Meturgaman. What does a Meturgaman mean? They had somebody who was the Baal Kori who would read from the Chumash itself. And then they had a different person who would go and say the Targum, who would translate so that everybody would understand what was just read. So you see that for generations, the practice was, they used to have the Torah being read and the Targum. So if that's what was going on every Shabbos, you came to Shul and we had Kriyas HaTorah. Not only do we have Kriyas HaTorah, but we also had Kriyas HaTargum, we had the Meturgaman. So how could it be the Gemara says, Shakhum v'chazur v'yastum? How did it get forgotten? Everybody went to shul every Monday and Thursday and every Shabbos. So where did it get forgotten along the way? How is it possible? Like the same kind of question they ask about Tefillin de Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. How is there a machlokas about the parshios, which way they should be put in? What happened to the sofer in the community who gave everyone else their Tefillin? Where did the machlokas evolve from? How did we get to such a place where we don't remember anymore how tefillin are supposed to be made, which is the same question here. If they were already translating the Torah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos three times a week, how did it get forgotten? How did somebody lose the Mesorah? So that's something that Stechemed really has a difficult time understanding, and he works hard. It's in the end of volume Yud. It's in the end of the 10th volume where the Stechemed tries to figure out exactly what this means, and he gives all kinds of answers which really he himself writes are not really sufficient answers, and that's something to think about. We have in the Gemara here, and we just had it before as well, Shakhlim L'chazim V'yastim, that sometimes things got forgotten and then they became reinstituted. And the question is, I understand when it's a little nuanced halacha how it gets forgotten, but something that we do every day, like Tefillin D'Rashi D'Rabbeinu Tam, how is it possible that that happened? How can that be? And similarly over here, writes Yisrael Chemed, how can it possibly be that when it comes to the translation of the Torah, somebody forgot it? You had whole communities who were listening to this translation for generations. So where do we go wrong, and how exactly did we evolve to a place where we no longer know it, and we need Yonas HaMenuziel to come along and reinstitute the Mesorah the way it always was? Yeah?
What